You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. San Francisco's Mission District has a historically rich Mexican heritage. It's also home to Chileans, Cubans, Guatemalans, Puerto Ricans, and others, never representing a single Latino identity. Author Carrie Cordova explores the cultural history of the community in her book, The Heart of the Mission. She sat down to talk with KALW's Ben Trefney.
To you, what is it that makes the Mission District unique?
So I think growing up in San Francisco, I had a sort of impression of Latino identities being created in the Mission, or that there was a way in which I could understand being a Chicana or being a Latina through my experiences in the Mission. And part of it was through the arts. Part of it was seeing the performances, the visual art, the posters, the political concerns, thinking about the struggles in Nicaragua, the struggles in El Salvador, and that informed my consciousness. And I think that that was one of the objectives for writing the book, was thinking about what had happened in that neighborhood that had really shaped a lot of my own thoughts about the world.
When did the Mission District start to have more Latinos come in and create a real sense of identity with this place?
So one of the things is thinking about the Latinization of the Mission, which you can trace over the course of the 50s and 60s, definitely a post-World War II phenomenon. If you think about white flight, a lot of people took the opportunity to move to nicer homes, to move to the suburbs, and the Mission had dilapidated, really dense housing that was cheaper and an option for immigrants, especially from Latin America.
How quickly then did sense of place and a cultural identity start to form in the Mission District? Because that can take a while.
It can take a while. And so I think it's less evident in the 50s. I'd say you start to see it really in the early 60s. And by the mid 60s, there's a lot of Latino organizing in the Mission already at that point.
What groups were behind that primarily?
So for me, I tended to look more at the arts organizations as opposed to just the political activist organizations, though they were plentiful as well. And so one of the first organizations I looked at was a group called Casa Hispana, which started around 1966. It was a group of Latin American artists who wanted to work together and create art and read poetry.
And did they have a social cause per se, or were they just like a collective of people who enjoyed each other's company and passions?
I think they definitely did. I mean, I think that they wanted to celebrate an identity that they otherwise saw was not being acknowledged in larger American cultural streams. And so a lot of these arts organizations were trying to create separate spaces simply to represent themselves.
How much success did they have?
I think a lot, because we still see some of the ways in which this is carried over today. Galleria de la Raza, which sits in 24th Street, still is a direct result of some of this organizing, and so is the Mission Cultural Center, Brava Theater a little bit later. But thinking about these institutions that get built at that moment means that they are still present today.
In the 1970s, the community murals movement got really rolling. Can you tell me about the origins of that?
Sure. I mean, I think it's hard to say exactly who started what where, but by the early 70s, the community mural movement was both a very local and national phenomenon, and global, really, to be honest. And so in the Mission District, I think in part artists saw the ways in which painting a wall could establish a kind of territory, could establish a kind of presence of who was living in the area, and also could maybe reach and radicalize some of the residents and encourage them to think about how to get involved in the community.
So let's get into the 80s then, and you highlight the transnational liberation movements, which were a big part of national and international consciousness, and then also AIDS activism.
Yeah, no small mouthful there. So I think one of the things that I wanted to try to illustrate was the ways in which Latino artists, Latino activists got involved in various causes that had a human rights component as well, which was one of the appealing things about getting involved in supporting the Sandinista struggles in Nicaragua. Not to say that the Sandinistas were perfect, but that the ideas that were being represented for these folks were thinking about issues of equality, thinking about even some ideas about sharing wealth.
And one of our most recent poet laureates, Alejandro Murguia, was one of the people who went there to fight.
Absolutely. So I wrote about Alejandro Murguia. I wrote about his work with Roberto Vargas. I wrote about them working with Nina Serrano as poets and thinking about them as poets, but then also thinking about them deciding to go off and fight in Nicaragua. And so thinking about those efforts, which were so actually against the interests of the U.S. government at the time, but the ways in which these artists saw those struggles as part of a larger liberation philosophy.
And AIDS, too, the activism around that was also counter to the actions of the U.S. government, but something that you found center in the mission.
Yeah, and so I was looking especially at the deaths of people during the 1980s in Central America, and thinking about the deaths of people that were happening as a result of AIDS here in San Francisco, it brought a lot of things together. And so one of the ways in which I tried to talk about that was through the celebration of Dia de los Muertos, or Day of the Dead, and how when did people start moving the celebration from a very private, sort of intimate memories or recuerdos of people that they love into a much more political realm of how do you grieve for this many people that are dying from AIDS, this many people that are dying from war?
How do you?
You know, I mean, how do you? But I think that's one of the reasons why the celebration appealed to people so much, is because there are so few options for grieving publicly in the United States. And so this way of both cheerfully remembering, but also speaking out loud about the gravity of death and violence became a really important celebration for people.
So when you look back then with this long view over decades of development of Latino art and activism, what kind of a whole sense do you gather about what this district means and means internationally, really?
I've lived in a lot of different places. So I've lived in Los Angeles and Texas and Pennsylvania and several different places. And one of the things that I've noticed in terms of thinking about Latino studies is that what it means to be Chicano or Latino can be different. It can be very regional, and it can be more Mexican-centric or more Caribbean-focused. And one of the things that I wanted to tackle was what did it mean in San Francisco, but also thinking about the ways in which so many of these artists that I've written about have worked globally. They've traveled to Nicaragua, they've traveled to El Salvador, they've traveled to Russia to make murals. I mean, and so thinking about their work in all of these different spaces and the ways in which their influence has wielded a much more global sort of influence. So that was something I was hoping to track.